and it's a joy to be sharing the Word of God. And as we continue feasting upon the person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as we had this morning the roasted lamb, and I tell you, roast lamb really have a wonderful taste. Wonderful taste. So if they believe the shish kebab they have on the streets of New York is something new, God had that long time in Egypt. But I have never eaten manna literally. But I have to say I've eaten manna because I feasted upon the person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This afternoon, what we want to dwell on is the old corn of the land. What was very striking with Brother Anthony's lecture was the fact that he brought before us what is the food for Egypt, what is the food for the world, and how we can be victorious Christians in the world. How I can live in this world and live a victorious Christian life and be victorious in this world that is heading for judgment. And I would say this, no Christian should blame the devil for a defeated Christian life, because God has given ample food for life in the world. Brother David brought before us fruit for the wilderness, and we have ample food, and that food lasted for 40 years. And at the end of that 40 years, Moses says, listen, you know what God did? God took you all through that wilderness, that you may know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. God says, I tested you, that you will know that you don't have to listen this, going out and look for this every day. And now God, the Lord Jesus, applied that truth in the book of John chapter 6. Well, we want to read a couple verses in the book of Joshua and chapter 5. And we are going to see what scripture teaches in relation to the old corn of the land. Joshua chapter 5 and verse 10. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and came and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the self same day. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land, neither had the children of Israel manna any more. But they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, no. But as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoes from off thy foot, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. And Joshua did so. We are at this point in the history of the children of Israel, and we want to make a wonderful application in relation to the Christian journey or the Christian walk as we continue on this pilgrim pathway. We have come, chronologically speaking, if we should link this portion of the Word of God in light of New Testament teaching, we have come to the book of Colossians. We have somewhat expressed that at the last camp we had at Mountain View. We have come to the book of Colossians. And the book of Colossians is this. We are dead and risen with Christ. We have crossed the Jordan experientially, literally. We have crossed the Jordan positionally. We are in the land. We have crossed over the Jordan. And which some of us have answered to in our baptism. But the fact is this. We have crossed the Jordan. The manna ceased. Indeed, we are not eating. So it is different in the land of Egypt. Yes, they ate the Passover. But there was no door to apply the blood on the doorpost. There was no house that that God will see the blood and pass over them. At this point, it was a memorial. It was a memorial remembering what God has done. And as they crossed the wilderness, now they're in the land, the manna ceased. So there is food for the wilderness. And what is so wonderful about Christianity? I could eat the roasted lamb. I could eat the manna. I could eat the old corn of the land. And I could eat priestly food. Listen, it is grand to be a Christian. And I believe, what has happened. We really don't know what we have. Really don't know. I tell you what struck me. Was the lady who had a mattress. And this mattress, her daughter decided this is too old. It's time to get rid of it. And she bought this mattress for her mother. And you know, put a ribbon on it and everything. And when her mother came home, she says, ta-da-da-da. And show her mother the mattress. The mother says, what have you done? You know what was in that mattress? $1 million. $1 million, this is true. It was on CNN. And they saw the mother and the daughter down at the dump, in the dump, searching for the mattress. But I am sure, indeed, that that man who picked up that mattress and thought was trash, what her daughter thought was trash, he realized, indeed, your trash is my wealth. And he probably took that mattress and went with it. What has happened is this. The Christian don't know what the pains God has gone through to supply the food, indeed, for us to live victoriously every day. And when we are talking about this feeding upon Christ, remember the Lord Jesus said in John's Gospel, he that eat me shall live by me. It's no ifs, ands, or buts. It's Christ for the Christian. It's politics for the politician. And sports for those who want sports. When it comes to be a Christian, it's Christ. And God is saying to us, there's nothing else God give us, you know. Nothing else. It's Christ and Christ alone. It's not Christ and Moses. It's not Christ and Abraham. It's not Christ and something else. It's Christ and Christ alone. And God is saying, I'm going to live. Yes, have been presented at the roasted lamb as the manna. It is said that persons who feed upon Christ will not be hobbling on a crutch going to heaven. No way, you won't find them. Not only so, it says you cannot starve him. You cannot starve a person who is feeding upon Christ. They tried that with John, you know. John, when they banish him to the Isle of Patmos. Indeed, the enemy is not too smart. He decided, I will banish this fellow. And I will indeed just put him on this island by himself. But what do you think happened? John was in the spirit on the Lord's day. Because he feasted upon the roasted lamb. He had the manna. And he also feasted upon the old corn of the lamb. And he ate priestly food. Because he was in the good on the Lord's day enjoying Christ. You can't starve him because his food is inwardly. The Lord Jesus said, listen, I have food that you don't know of. You think because you went and get some food for me, indeed, and you're bringing it for me to eat. He said, boy, I've been feasting upon the Father. I've been enjoying him. And this is what God wants us to enjoy. God wants us to enjoy the Son. And God has called us to our fellowship with his Son. It says, listen, when they want to make your life like hell here on earth. A man who is feasting upon Christ is going to face it like the three Hebrew boys. King, we are not careful of these things, you know. But be it known unto you that we rather burn than bow. Because, and if he don't deliver us, we going in there. Didn't the king say to even Daniel? He said the same thing to Daniel. Boy, they put Daniel in the den of lions. And Daniel said, oh king, live forever. My God is able. Listen, these are people who feasted upon the food that God had given to them. So don't matter what life may trust. Let me assure you that God is saying to us, you have ample provision for your whole Christian journey and you can live a victorious Christian life. Don't stop blaming people. Stop crying and weeping. Just come to the table that God has provided, like the Queen of Sheba. She came and saw all that was on Solomon's table. And when she finished, she said, listen, the half had not been told. Since you could eat, you could eat every day. And I tell you this, you cannot exhaust the storeroom of God's supply. Cannot at all. I've gone many places, you know, and food ran out. Not with God. Ran out. I was at a certain place and food ran out. And I saw when it was coming to an end, the host got up and made one of the quickest meal I ever saw. You know the quick meal is spaghetti and throw a little bit of ground beef in something and pick it up. Very quick. And I tell you, it came out so quickly, very few people realized food was running out. God have his backup. Cannot take God by surprise. But the thing is, as we read in scripture, let's turn to that verse in John chapter 12 and verse 24. So we make this application very quickly. John chapter 12 and verse 24. And we'll be turning to some scriptures today. We are going to have some exercise in relation to scripture. John chapter 12 and verse 24. And this is the Lord Jesus, verse 23. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and died, it abideth alone. But if it died, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and died, it abideth alone. Now, let me assure you, this old corn of the land is not corn on the cob. Because most North American believe the corn that scripture is speaking about is the corn we eat on the cob. This corn is really wheat. Okay? It's wheat. It's not corn like we have, which is maize really. But the corn is a corn of wheat. So now, what God is expressing, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and died, it abideth alone. It is bringing before us that the Lord Jesus, the Son of Man, really is not only because he is here, he is heavenly. The corn is heavenly corn, and that is Canaan's food. Canaan food, all the food in Canaan grew above the ground. It's not the leeks, it's not the onions, it's not the garlics that grew underground. All the food grew above the ground. And God is saying, listen, it's food from a heavenly region. And the person who is the corn of wheat is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And God says, listen, as for Christians, we have to feast upon him. But the only way we could feast, really enjoy this, I must come to that point in my life where I realize that I am dead and risen with Christ. I'm alive in Christ. I'm risen. I'm on the other side. I have been brought into a place of blessing. I have been brought onto resurrection ground. This is where God has brought us to, so we can enjoy this old corn of the land. The first thing I want to bring some distinctions about this corn, about this wheat. Let us turn to the book of Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 9. Second to last book in the Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 16 and 17. It says in 16, "And the Lord thy God shall save them in that day as the flock of his people. For they shall be as the stones of a crown lifted up as an insignia upon his hand. For how great is his goodness and how great is his beauty. Corn shall make the young man cheerful, and new wine the maiden." Now, Zechariah is really remembered of Jehovah. That's what his name means. He was a prophet of encouragement. He was a prophet of encouragement. The people of God had returned from captivity. They had begun to build. And because, again, when you read the book of Haggai, it's because of, indeed, they have left off God's house. And God says, no, no, no. God sent the prophets to encourage the people to build again. But hear what Zechariah is saying to them. He says, corn shall make the young men cheerful and new wine. This word cheerful means fruitful. It means to grow, to speak. Do you know when you feast upon the old corn of the land? When you feast upon this, indeed this wheat, you know what it is going to do? It is going to make you fruitful. You are going to be fruitful. You are going to grow. You are going to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You are going to speak, because why? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Indeed, it is very sad, very, very sad to see all the young people at times geographically in one place, and there is very little for Christ. And you ask why? Why it is? Well, God said, listen here, I want you to know it is time to start feasting upon this corn, because this corn is going to make you cheerful, happy people. Indeed, God has, it says, we are happy people, praise the Lord. Why? Because we have the Bible. Indeed, this is what God has given to us. As we feast upon this old corn of the land, we are going to grow. We are going to feast. We are going to speak. And I tell you this. You find someone who is enjoying Christ, it is very contagious. Very contagious. But I often say, you hang around people who are not enjoying Christ, it is contagious too. You have to find, you have to be around people who are feasting upon this roasted lamb. This is the heavenly Christ, you know. This is Christ in glory. We are going to touch on that. But the thing is, here is this man, God sent this man to encourage and discourage people and say, listen, you know what I want you to do? I want you to feast upon the corn, feast upon this wheat that you may grow. A verse in, and Danny read it this morning. Colossians chapter 1. We are going to see what scripture teaches. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 5. Hear what it says there. It says, Paul always begin with prayer. He says, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of truth, of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, bringing forth fruit, as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth, as ye also learn of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declare unto us, your love in the Spirit. And this is the verse This is the verse, verse 9 and 10. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, to desire that ye may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. This is what it is going to produce. It is going to produce this strengthening. It is going to produce this glorious power, patience, long-suffering, and joyfulness, being fruitful in every good work. That is what it's going to do. It is going to give you the energy of a resurrected life, because I am on resurrection ground. There's where I've been brought. It's not I brought myself there. Positionally, God has brought me there. No, that's why the Apostle Paul said, he says that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, indeed the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Beloved saints, is to know that I, that you are on resurrection ground, and the food for you is, listen, is not McDonald's, is not Kentucky, is not Junior's. The food for the Christian is the Lord Jesus Christ. Is Christ. Christ for the Christian. Saints, we have the old corn of the land. But not only so. You know what the scripture teaches us? Let's go to Colossians again. Chapter 1. Chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Now, when you read the apostles' writings, the Apostle Paul brings before us the Lord Jesus Christ, his full title. He brings before us Christ, God's anointed man. Jesus Christ, indeed the man on earth, the glorified man, this man whom God has anointed. But when it comes to Christ Jesus, it's a glorified man in heaven. Since we have a man in the glory. The first time I heard that was over in that meeting over there. A brother came from England and he says, don't you know there's a man in the glory? I said, man in the glory. What is it? And I could remember Ricky was there too. Ricky says, man in the glory. I don't understand. He didn't explain nothing. You know why? Because it was beyond us. There's a man with flesh and bones sitting at the right hand of God. Crowned with glory and honor. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. God has highly exalted that man. And Paul said in the book of Philippians, God has highly exalted him and give him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There's a man there, but you know what? It's a divine attestation to me and to you that the victory has been won. The battle is over, and all we have to do is reap the spoils, beloved saints. Indeed, it is done. And God says, there he is. He fought the fight alone. He has returned victoriously. Open up ye gates and be lifted up. Let the King of Glory come in. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty in battle. He is the King of Glory. He has entered in, and he has entered in on our behalf. He has entered in to represent us and to tell us about this wonderful God that he has brought us into. And the Spirit of God has come out to tell us about him. How we know Christ is come with glory and honor? It's because of the Spirit's testimony. He has come. And now, this is the food. Seek those things which are up above. Indeed, we are not talking about the space station. I would like to get in space. I would like to go out and walk on the moon.
The Lord knows that honest. But the fact is that's not my place. My place is the presence of God. So in spite of my aspirations, maybe I would love to be hanging out at this space place and looking down on planet Earth. Indeed, that if God give me that, praise the Lord. But if not, I know I am going to glory. And I know where my portion is. Because the fact is, my occupation should be with that man in the glory. As we occupy ourselves with him, we shall be changed from glory to glory. The scripture says, God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Saints, where are we looking? Is the sunshine is in the face of the Lord Jesus. And as we feast upon that, as we occupy, what it means, Brother Brian, all it means to see things from God's point of view. What the death of Christ means to God. Indeed, what his presence there means to God. What God is saying to us. And as I feast upon that, man, I'll be strengthened. I'll say like Paul, when Festus said to him, Paul, thou art mad. I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speaketh forth the words of truth and soberness. The king before whom I speak not of these things. King Agrippa? King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? You almost persuade me to be a Christian. Listen, indeed the man was enjoying Christ. It was a light above the brightness of the noonday sun. You know it was a light. Then it became a great light. Then it became a light above the brightness of the noonday sun. Paul was enjoying Christ. That's why he called Christ Jesus right through all his teachings. It is Christ Jesus before them. A man in the glory. Saints, there is a man in heaven. Indeed, listen, it is not Michael Jordan when he used to be flying through the sky. Indeed, no, it is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. But I had to remind a young guy before Michael Jordan was flying through the sky, it was Dr. J. Never heard about Dr. J. Say, boy, he learned everything from Dr. J. So men come and men go. But the Lord Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The corn remains. The corn remains. Where are you feeding? Where are you feeding? Huh? What are you eating? Have you feasted on the roasted lamb? Have you eaten the manna? Are you eating the corn of the land? And God has ample supplied. And you know what happened? The children of Israel didn't work for this, you know. But let me tell you this. Before you eat, God must have his portion first. In the book of Leviticus, let's turn to it. Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23 verse 10. Hear what it says. Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when ye be come into the land which I give unto you and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruit of your harvest unto the priest. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you. And on the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. And he shall offer that day, when he wave the sheaf, and he lamb without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord. And the meal offering thereof shall be 2/10 deal of fine flour mingled with oil. And an offering made by fire unto the Lord for a sweet savor. And the drink offering thereof shall be of wine, a fourth part of an hell. And he shall eat neither bread, nor parched corn, nor green air, until the selfsame day that ye have brought an offering unto your God. It shall be a statue forever throughout your generation in all your dwelling. God had his portion first. Don't believe that God didn't enjoy Christ before we start enjoying him. The Father enjoyed Christ for 30 long years. Man, I tell you, his eyes was upon him. He was the Father's delight. That the Father couldn't contain himself no more. That on the banks of the Jordan, he says, thou art my beloved son, in whom I have found all my delight. Oh, I tell you, feasted upon him. And then after the Father was so satisfied, he filled the Father's heart. He was rejoicing before him, before even he became a man. But when he came out, and he lived here, every step brought glory to God. The obedient man, the dependent man, the self-surrendered man. All of that you've seen in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then after 30 years. And he came out in his public ministry. The devil examined him also. And he found nothing in him. He was also examined by Pilate. And Pilate says, I find no fault in this man. Saints, what a wonderful person God has given to us. The old corn of the land, the wheat. But then it tells us, and it makes it known to us, not only that the Father feasted upon him, but you look at men. You know, I often ask, what make some women and some men different than others? What made Deborah different? What made men like Moses, Joshua, Elijah, Elisha, Paul, a Timothy, a Titus? What made them different? They were men of like passion as we are. They breed. They had responsibilities. Just as we are. But what made them stand out? You know, I believe, as the Brother Dave was saying it, he said to Timothy, Timothy, give attendance to reading. Study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Daniel learned from the book of Jeremiah that God was now about to move on behalf of his people. And Daniel poured out his heart before God. And you know, it's because of Daniel's confession that this revival in the book of Ezra came about. When you read likewise of Ezra, he, as it were, learned from the scriptures. First, he says that he may do it and then teach it in Israel. It come a time that this book must become something more than just a book. It is said of Mr. Grant, just F.W. Grant, before he died, he says, oh, the book. Expressions. We were just in Canada. We had the lectures in Canada last weekend. And a brother, an older brother, got up and he says, you know, I want to say this to you young people. I wasted my time. I want to tell you. Yes, I worked hard. I did what I need to do for my family. He says, you know this, I should have spent more time with this book. I could tell you the truth. One regret I have, you know, and I often say, but the ways of God is not the ways of men. I would have loved to be brought up in a Christian home. I didn't have that privilege. But some of you have. And there is a lack of appreciation for what God has done. I tell you, I had to say to a fellow, he said to me, what happened to you? I said, listen, buddy. I didn't ask God to make me black. And I sure the brother down there didn't ask God to make him white. God says, I am going to do as I please. Because I am God. And there are some families, God, look what God did. God put Prince Charles in a family The Queen of England is his mother. Why God didn't put me there? I cannot question God. But this I can. Where God puts me, I need to appreciate it. And say, oh God, indeed, beloved, when we travel, Hadley and I was in Moldova. I tell you, listen, it makes you cry to see young children whose parents have abandoned them. Walk away, just bring them and say, listen, I can't take care of these young people. Have no family, they don't know where their parents gone. And to realize you have mom and dad, you have a nice warm place. And not only so, you are saved. You are saved and know Christ as your savior. Food, ample food. I tell you, we have to hand out food to these people. And there is ample food. God says, why should you go hungry when there is food enough for us to eat? The thing about this is we keep in mind that Israel, when they came into the land, the food, it was grown, it was gathered, it was stored, waiting for them to come in. You could imagine that. God says, you can't surprise God, you know. You see this economical downturn? You think God didn't know this coming? Oh man, starve. Starve what? God says, I have ample food for the Christian. I have stored up food. It is all there. But there's one thing you got to do. You got to eat. You got to eat. I tell you, you could imagine. You cannot tell some people in certain countries that. You got to eat. They say, what? That's all? Just eat? It's in this country you have to tell people that. Because it's too much. There's too much to eat. The television. The internet. Facebook. Should I continue? No, man. All I would say, God says, this is it. Christ. Just Christ. And he says, all of that was stored up. And I want to bring some verses to emphasize this in the book of Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13, and keep this in mind, verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do you know that this word, the same, is a glory that is attached to the Lord Jesus. Study it. So Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today and forever. All may change. But Jesus never, glory to his name. First chapter 1 of the book of Hebrews. Again, it bring before us. And verse 10. And thou Lord in the beginning had laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hand. They shall perish, but thou remainest. And they all shall wax old as doth a garment, and a vesture thou shalt fold them up, and they shall be changed. Listen to this. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. He remains the same. And when you read John's Gospel, chapter 1, it tells us in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. It is the glories of the Lord Jesus Christ. And beloved saints, all we are saying to you, indeed, what a portion God has given to us. A wonderful portion. A portion. We don't have to go out and try to plant and cultivate. It is planted, it was stored, guarded, everything taken care of. One thing with wheat. I've taken pictures out. You leave it out, and you what to do? They have some oxen just treading out, running around a pole. They tie the oxen to a pole, and they're just treading out the husk of the wheat. And when they finish, they take, put it in a sieve and throw it up, and the wind just blow the chaff away. All in scripture is true. All in scripture, see it with my eyes. I took it out. I says, well, this scripture, this Bible is real. It's God's word. And what happened? God says, I ain't giving you the chaff. I let the wind drive it away. I leave you the wheat, the real thing. Coke says it's the real thing. God says Christ is the real thing. He is the answer. And it tells us this. How are we supposed to eat it? It says roasted. That's what scripture says. And you look at it. It is Joshua chapter 5, verse 11. He said, it must be roasted. And Leviticus chapter 2 and verse 14, roasted. It had to be roasted. And that verse also in Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 14, roasted. What that means? It means this. The roast, the wheat had to pass through the fire. When we look at the life of the Lord Jesus, and it was touched on after he was here, tempted by the devil for 40 days. The devil says, command these stones to be made bread. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Take him up onto high pinnacle. He says, cast yourself down. Prove yourself. You call yourself the Messiah. You the Messiah. He'll give thee charge to keep thee, lest you dash your foot against a stone. He left out in all thy ways. Then he took him. Show him all the kingdoms of this world. I tell you, listen. When you're coming in into New York City at night, up in the air, I was on a plane. And it seems as though it was the first time we were coming in from Europe. And it was like the first time this person saw the lights in New York. He said, get the camera out! Get the camera out! Get the camera. Wow, how beautiful! I tell you, miles of lights. Beautiful! When you look at that, and the enemy comes to you and says, all this is yours. You got to have some corn. If you don't eat some corn, you in serious trouble. If you have not feasted upon the roasted lamb, you in serious, serious trouble. Because many have come and many have lost the direction. People came from the islands, godly, serving the Lord. And all of a sudden, man, when they see the lights of New York and money making, man, next thing you know, you could hardly find them in the meeting, you know. You hardly find them. And also, one of the biggest dangers is when a person is educated. Boy, the door get too small. That door too small for the ego. Boy, they cannot pass through. It is a breath of fresh air to see an educated, godly Christian. I tell you, imagine a Christian who have got this world higher learning and still humble, realize this is for this life, but the corn is for this life and the life to come. Yes. It tells us we're supposed to eat it roasted. It means I can feast upon Christ who has gone through every form of human suffering. And he has qualified to lead us through the wilderness. He is the captain of our salvation. Hebrews chapter 2. And in closing, we want to close very quickly. It tells us this corn, must be eaten if we have to fight. Let me say this. This Christian life, and I'm not only going to address young people, because the same thing affects you, affects the middle age and the old people. The old people lost too. The young people also. The old people fall, and the middle age too, and the young people. But I tell you this. When David was going to face Goliath, you read it because of brevity of time. In 1 Samuel chapter 17 and 17, he brought corn for his brethren. He said, boy, you need corn, because they were shaking. And Goliath, send me out a man. and he defined God, the army of God, indeed. And David, who ate the corn, says, what is this? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Defying the armies of the living God. I took care of a bear, I took care of a lion, and I'll take care of him. It's only a man who eating corn could talk like that. You kidding? You think you could talk like that eating McDonald's and Wendy's and Burger King? Indeed, this man was enjoying the risen Christ. And he says, no man, I know the victor. I know the man on the throne. Application now. I know the man on the throne. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not walk. Indeed, and then, indeed, he said, no man, I go take care of him. They put on him Saul's armor. He said, but let me take this thing off. I'm proving hurting, boy. Take this thing off for me. And he went with what God put in his hands. Shamgar had his outgoing. Dorcas had a tread, but David had a sling, and not all. He went up to Goliath. You mean to say you couldn't send nobody out? This is the man you sent out here to me, and this little boy. Why is your stripling? And I'll feed you to the fowls, and all kind of things. He start, you know, carrying on with. And you can imagine this big bad Goliath carrying on. David said, "Listen, fella. Indeed, you will see. You will see the God of Israel, who you defy. I will take you down today." Man, the man had some armor. The only place you could have room was here, and God says, "There I want." David and Goliath fell down. When Goliath fell down, what do you think the camp of Israel did when the hands were drooping and the knees were knocking? All of a sudden they said, what is this? What? Hallelujah. And they start looking at the battle now. Goliath on the ground, the champion of the Philistine. David went over, took his sword, his own sword. What an insult. Not even his own sword, but David took the man's sword. Don't you know the code of a police officer? There was a police officer here. For a man to take your gun? What? Very few people would want to work with you again. Somebody come and take your gun and gone with it. Imagine David killed a man. Take his own sword. Cut off his head. And take his head to Jerusalem. Boy, I tell you. Music start. A song begin. David, Saul kill his 1,000. David kill his 10,000. Jealousy appear. Jealousy, the enemy is dead. The enemy is dead. His head is routed. You know why? Because this man ate corn. He feasted upon the corn. He brought it for his brother. All you come here. Why you came here? To see the battle? And your naughtiness. Who you lead this few sheep with? Is there not a cause? Look at how you're shaking. Look how you're in living right. Look how you're defeated. And you're trembling before this man Goliath. Saints, sometimes I sung very boastful, but I tell you this. I ain't going to shake, you know. Because I want to enjoy Christ. My desire, our desire, is that you may enjoy him too. When you get to the book of Ruth, you observe, because of brevity of time, Ruth also. Ruth chapter 2 verse 14. It says, Ruth was gleaning corn, and she beat it out what she had gleaned. And after she was sufficed, she enjoyed it, she took it to Naomi. And Naomi says, where you been gleaning today? She said, in the fields of Boaz. He, in him is strength. Saints, are you eating this old corn of the land? Are you feasting upon Christ? And I tell you, remember this. Is Christ in glory. There is a glorified man in heaven. Look, ye saints. The sight is glorious. See the man of glory now. See where he is. And when David took down Goliath, you know what this says? Saul came to Joab and says, who is this boy? Whose son is he? He says, King, I cannot tell. I cannot tell. They had to inquire. Listen, we know whose son is he. He is the son of the living God. He has defeated the enemy. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. He rose the victor from the dark domain. He lives forever with his saints to reign. And the songwriter says, hallelujah, hallelujah, Christ arose. Saints, there's a man in the glory. Feast upon the old corn of the land. And I guarantee you this, you are going to speak. You are going to grow. It will be seen. Brother Hadley and I could tell you we travel miles and miles and miles and miles. And all we look at is corn, 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 corn. I said, this is maize now. I said, what did we do? It's to feed to the animals. But when we got to the place of wheat, it was all harvested. I tell you, it's a beautiful sight. The fields are white, all ready to harvest. The laborers are few. May God help us to feast upon that man in the glory. And you are going to be strengthened. It makes the young strong. It nerves the feeble arm to fight. It is not, you cannot discourage a person who is feasting upon the old corn of the land. When you see people discouraged, be careful. Don't let people determine your reaction. Let Christ determine that. But all I say, keep your eyes on him and plow on through. People will have to move for his name's sake. Amen. Amen.